if you will repeat after me, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I decree tonight.
I decree tonight.
My ears hear.
My ears hear.
My eyes see.
My eyes see.
And my heart perceives.
And my heart perceives.
That you are speaking to me.
That you are speaking to me.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. I tried to go off into another corner, but I kept hearing you're not done with this message from Sunday. And Sunday we finished with Jude number 24. So I just want you to let the Holy Spirit bring in what He is trying to make us understand, that our righteousness is not after death. Our righteousness is now. And it's not something we perform, it's something that He already has released to us. So if you remember, Jude is just a one letter, it's not very hard, verse 24. Now unto Him that is able to guard you from stumbling and to set you before the presence of His glory without blemish in exceeding joy. Try that one on again. I want you to repeat after me. Now unto Him
that is able to guard me
from stumbling
and to set me
before His presence
of His glory
without a blemish
in exceeding joy.
Now, if you ask the average believer that goes to church on Sunday or Saturday or whatever day, if he is able to understand that one verse, and most believers would shun it away because they're trying to clean their own act up. They're trying to make themselves holy. They're trying to make themselves righteous. And the more they try, the more they stumble, correct? So listen to it again. Now unto Him that is able to guard you from stumbling and to set you before the presence of His glory without blemish in exceeding joy. Is that presence of which He speaks here, before which we are to be set with exceeding joy, is this after death or is it now?
It's now.
Yeah. But believing it is something else.
Sure.
And receiving it is an act of faith. Got it? It seems very clear to me that we live in His presence now, that we walk in His presence now, not some other future date. If He cannot present us now before His presence with exceeding joy, He certainly cannot present us before the presence of the Father after death with exceeding joy. If it requires death to cleanse us from sin, we are left in an unhappy dilemma. Death is of the devil. Do I have an agreement?
Amen.
All right. It would indicate that God, in His redemption, was unable to give us victory, that He needed to the devil to complete His redemptive work. Now, I know that's a tongue twister, but think about it. I believe that what the Scripture says about us is absolutely true, that God Himself is now our very righteousness, and that we are the righteousness of God in Christ, or in Him. I'm convinced that we are partakers of the divine nature. There is no condemnation to us who walk in the light as He is in the light. The whole teaching of the modern church is in regard to separation from the world is vague and elusive. One branch of the church has taught that after we are born again, we still have the fallen nature in us. That is the sin nature that came into Adam at the fall. What does this mean? This scripture will explain it. Now you might want to keep that one. John chapter 8, verse 44. John chapter 8, verse 44. You are of your father, the devil. It is Satan's nature. Satan has imparted to man his own nature. They acknowledge the fact that God has provided a new birth, but that his new birth is a flat failure. The only thing he can do is to give us eternal life and forgive us. He cannot take the old nature out of us. The whole thing is absurd. It is not true. It is not the word. Next scripture, 2 Corinthians 5:17. This one is one that you know, but most people don't believe it. They believe it halfway. Wherefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. Now, if you're a new creature, the old is what?
Passed away.
Gone. The old things are passed away. Behold, they are become new. But all these things are of God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ. The reconciliation for many years for me was that it was a job. Reconciling myself to God. Me doing the work. Me doing the sacrifices. But that's not the case. Listen again. Wherefore, if any man is in Christ, meaning in the corporate Jesus, his body, his bride, his sons, he is a new creature. The old things are passed away. Behold, they are become new. But all these things are of God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ. A man cannot be in Christ and have the devil's nature in him. Doesn't work. A man cannot be in Christ and have the devil's nature in him. He is either in the family of God or in the family of Satan. Next scripture, 1 John 3:10. 1 John 3:10. In this the children of God are manifest and the children of the devil. There can be no real development of faith, no strong, victorious Christian life with this mixed conception. Notice the mixture. We are either new creations or we're not. We have either passed out of death into life or we have not. When he says sin shall not lord it over you, he means exactly what he says. If you live a life of weakness and defeat, it is because you do not know what you are in Christ. Knowledge of my being in the body of Christ will change my future and how I look at myself. And once I realize that I am a new creation, that old guy, the liar, the thought patterns, the levels of stuff that come across us are not the Adamic nature. Think about that. Either I am a new creation or I'm not. Does that mean that I might stumble and fall? Yes. Mm-hmm. But I don't stay there. I don't have a hunger to remain in that sin nature. If you live a life of weakness and defeat, it is because you do not know what you are in Christ. The supreme need of the church at this hour is to know what we are in Christ, how the Father looks upon us, and what he considers me to be. Just close your eyes right now. Say, the supreme need of the church.
The supreme need of the church.
This church.
This church.
At this hour.
At this hour.
Is to know.
Is to know.
What I am in Christ.
What I am in Christ.
And what my Heavenly Father looks upon me.
And what my Heavenly Father looks upon me.
And what he considers me to be.
And what he considers me to be.
It's his opinion that counts.
It's his opinion that counts.
Not mine.
Not mine.
Ephesians 1:3. You might want to keep this one because I think once you comprehend this one, it may help you. Ephesians 1:3 says, "Blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ." Woo-hoo! You've got it all. But do you believe it? Do I believe it? I believe I do have some moments when I can really accept it. And all of a sudden, the emotional part of me gets the best of me.
Yep.
And then I go for a ride. Yep. And the unbelief tries to creep back in. And when I took this the other day, I said, "Lord, I really don't like teaching out of a book." He says, "It's not about you. It's what they need to hear." I'm being honest.
All right now.
Okay? It's not what I like that counts. It's what we need to be able to believe and to receive by faith. You can't receive it in your natural condition. If you depend on your brain, you are depending on foolish thought patterns of the past, because all you've got up here is the natural. What you've got inside of your belly, what you've got, the inner part of you, that's where you're going to understand what this means. Next scripture, Colossians 1. 21 and 22. Colossians 1, 21 and 22. "Being in times past alienated and enemies in your mind, in your evil works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and without blemish and unreprovable before him." In other words, this has already been done in Christ. You stand before him complete in Christ. So once you get the picture that the corporate nature is what God is involved in, and what he sees is little individuals, one after the other, corporately working together. Do you think that any believer filled with sin, as that term is used, could be in Christ and stand before him without spot or wrinkle? If he cannot take the sin nature out of us when we are born again, if the merits of the blood do not reach this and wipe it out, then when can we ever be made right? Now, when we die, for Satan is the author of death, I declare before the angels in heaven, before the demons and all the hosts of hell, that the redemptive work of God needs no help from Satan to make us complete in God's presence. So you see, when we have these ideas that work through our minds and we use the word as a tool to justify how we feel, what are we doing? We're actually using carnal standards instead of the truth of the word to declare that we are holy, that we are righteous, that we are totally new creations. And once we realize we are that new creation, the fruits of that are going to be what?
Visible.
Huh?
Visible.
Visible. And you're going to be full of joy. You're going to be bubbly all the time. You're going to be happy. And as soon as a bad thought comes in, you're going to say, "Be gone." Hmm. Yes or no? Because 2 Corinthians 10 says your battle is not with tools of the human mind. It is what? Spiritual tools that you're going to use. And when you declare with your mouth life or death, what are you doing? But we go by the emotion. At least Kim does. Okay? I confess. But let's change it tonight. Let's go with what God says, that I'm a new creation. That old stuff has no value to me. That old pattern of thinking that I have to struggle to make myself holy and righteous, does that mean I go around doing bad behavior just to prove that God is right? No. What it does say is I better believe what the Word says about me instead of my opinion on myself. My opinion of myself is what? What others have said over time. Yes or no? Mm-hmm. This one, that one. Every single one of us has an opinion. And we can respect whoever gave it. But if they're not filled with the Holy Ghost, what kind of an opinion are they going to have of me? And you?
Very kindly.
Why don't you check your neighbors and see what they think of you? Well, I'm being honest. And see if it matches God's word. How about your relatives that can't stand your guts?
Absolutely not.
Well, I'm being honest.
You're absolutely correct.
Okay? They will shun you. Mm-hmm. I was at a party this past weekend. I sat there and I prayed in the spirit inside my heart for the better part of 3.5 hours, saying, how could I escape this? You know?
Yeah.
You know when you feel out totally, what am I doing here, Lord? Yeah. And I kept hearing, give grace. Well, I got tired of giving grace and I wanted to what? Give somebody and I'd add it. Kim, shut up. You got the point.
Oh, yes. Could I just ask a question right here? There's got to be a time when enough is enough. There's got to be, Kim.
Well, let me ask you this. If we get to the point that we believe what I just gave you for scriptures, for ourselves. See, you cannot convince anyone else. Look at what Jesus went through. And he said our walk would be similar to his. What did the town folks think of him? Ah, think about it. What did they think of him in Nazareth? Gail, what would that cliff look like to you when we went there?
Yeah,
it's like the top of a mountain and you see a straight down and they wanted to throw him overboard. They wanted to kill him. He escaped in the middle, okay? The party, I escaped eventually. I think when I prayed enough for them that I could survive. And I said to the Lord, what was that? He says, it was a test. Did you pass it? Oh, was I full of joy? Part-time. Okay? Because I would have preferred to be with him. Just sitting in my chair if necessary. You got it? But you understand, it is this place we're in now. And when we are with unbelievers, there is going to be rejection. You're going to feel it.
I understand the rejection.
Okay.
And I'm talking about being mean and ugly.
Some are going to be mean and ugly until they are changed. And the only way they're going to change is for us to intercede for them. See, we are the ones that have the seeds of life in us, aren't we? Who has the ability to intercede for the neighbor?
We do.
Pray for your enemies that they may be what? Changed, healed, and delivered. So salvation's going to happen when you and I believe that we are that new creation. So find a pair of eyes right now. Just find a pair of eyes. Got them? Got them. Pair of eyes, eyeball to eyeball. Say, I'm a new creation.
I'm a new creation.
I better believe it.
It's God's opinion of me.
I better receive it.
I better accept it.
And I'm going to believe today that I am righteous. Because Jesus said so. He did not shed his blood for the neighbor only.
He did it for me.
And he did it for you.
And he did it for us.
We are righteous.
We are righteous.
We're not sinners.
We're not sinners.
We're saints.
We're saints.
We're redeemed.
We're redeemed.
We've been set free.
We've been set free.
And hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
This new creation
is absolutely lovely.
Yes.
I think it's just the last tape that you gave me of Susan O'Mara.
Yeah.
She contends that when we get to the point that we are so filled that it's emanating from us, that we will go in amongst people.
Yes.
And they were people.
Yes.
And they were people.
Yes.
And they were people.
Yes.
And